الحمد لله وكفى سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كتب عليكم القتال هو كره لكم وعسى ان تكرهوا شيئا وهو خير لكم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم كتب عليكم القتال and fighting in the path of Allah has been made obligatory on you وهو كره لكم and it is disliked by you. So from this ayah of the Quran, one gathers that fighting in the path of Allah or doing jihad in the path of Allah is obligatory on each and every Muslim. This is how it seems from this ayah. Because this ayah is very clear and it is very simple that fighting has been made or doing jihad has been made or qital has been made obligatory on you. But if you look at all the other ayahs of the Quran and the ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ, this jihad is not obligatory, this jihad is not farz on each and every Muslim. It is farz on a certain number of Muslims. If certain number of Muslims are doing it, then the farz is fulfilled for all the other Muslims. So if a nation has an army of people who are doing jihad, then this command of jihad is fulfilled for all of the nation, all of the Muslims. So jihad is not farz on every Muslim, it is a farz-e-kifaya. What is farz-e-kifaya? Can anybody tell us what farz-e-kifaya is? There is two types of farz. One is called the farz-e-ayn and one is called the farz-e-kifaya. Farz-e-ayn is that farz which is farz on each and every Muslim. For example, the Salat is farz on each and every one of us. Fasting is prescribed, is obligatory on each and every one of us. Right? In the same way, there are many other obligations which are farz on each and every one of us. So that farz is called fasting and Salat is called Farz-e-Ain. It is farz on each and every one of us. Then there is a Farz-e-Kifaya. Then it is farz on Muslims. But if certain group of Muslims perform that farz, then that farz is done for each and every one of us. So for example, Itikaf is also a farz on each and every Muslim. It is a sunnah for each and every Muslim. So it does not mean that each and every Muslim has to do itikaf. If a few members of the community perform the itikaf, then this sunnah has been fulfilled for the whole community. In the same way, jihad is the similar type of farz. That if a certain members of the community are fulfilling this obligation, then this command is fulfilled for all the Muslims. So this type of farz is called farz-e-kifaya. There are certain group of Muslims, if they perform this farz, it is enough for all the other Muslims. That is why Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, and from this ayah we deduce that this is not farz. Jihad is not farz on each one of us. And in the Quran Allah Ta'ala says that Allah has given precedence to those who fight over those who don't fight, but Allah has promised for both the groups. This is the translation of one of the ayahs of the Quran. That Allah has given precedence to those who fight in the path of Allah over those who don't fight in the path of Allah. But Allah has promised good for both the groups. Now when Allah Ta'ala says that He's promised good for both the groups, it means that Allah is agreeing that certain people will fight and certain people will stay back. So it does not mean, this ayah does not mean that jihad is farz on each and every one of us. If there is an army of Muslims which is performing this duty, then this farz is done for all of the Muslims. But another part of this ayah, Allah Ta'ala says, وَهُوَ كُرْهُ لَكُمْ. It is made farz on you, but you dislike this farz, right? And you don't want to engage in this. And the reason you don't want to engage in this is that who's going to go and fight with other people? And it is so difficult, and you have to train, and you can even lose your life, and all these things. So Allah Ta'ala says that although you dislike it, naturally, there's a natural dislike for this in your heart. Generally, people don't like fighting with others. But Allah Ta'ala says that this has been made obligatory on you. And then Allah Ta'ala gives a very big lesson of the Qur'an. You could say that this is the gist of the Qur'an. If you understand this part, then you understand the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is this part? Allah Ta'ala says, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala says that maybe those things that you dislike, وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ, there is benefit for you in those things. That sometimes you dislike certain things, but there is benefit for you. And you see it with your own eyes. It happens. When the child is young, he says, I don't want to go to school. And the mother forces him to go to school. Why? Because she tells the child that you don't know. There's benefit for you. You think you dislike going to school, but you must go to school because there is benefit for you. You will find that out. And when the child grows up, and then he thanks Allah, oh Allah, thanks God I went to school. Had I been illiterate, I would not even be able to understand a single word written on the road. Right? So the young child does not understand that there is benefit for him. The mother tells him, no, right now you don't understand. But one day you will understand that there is benefit for you. Then the child says, no, I don't want to sleep right now, I want to stay up. The mother says, no, no, no. You don't understand, I understand. That there is benefit for you that you sleep early. Right? The child says that I want to keep on playing on the computer. And the mother says, no, 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 no. You cannot waste your time. Right now you think that you dislike staying away from the computer. But one day you will realize that there is benefit for you. And that same child, when he grows up, he's telling his own child that, you know, no, 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 don't sit on the computer. And you should sleep early. And you should do these things. And you should go to school. Right? So this happens. So sometimes the child does not understand that there is benefit for him in certain things, and the elders are telling him that, you know, you don't understand the benefit, but there is benefit in it. In the same way, Allah Ta'ala is also saying the same thing. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْءٍ. And maybe there are certain things that you dislike. وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. But there is benefit for you in those things. So this is a very, very big lesson of the Qur'an. Naturally, people like certain things, and people dislike certain things, right? Those things that you like, you want to get these things, right? People like playing cricket, so they make sure that there is a day in the week that he plays cricket, right? So the things that you like, you try to attain those things, you try to get those things. And the things that you dislike, you try to stay away from those things. Okay, I don't wanna come close to these things, right? And then Allah Ta'ala says that it is not necessary. The things that you dislike, there might be something which is good for you in this. There might be some benefit for you in these things. So there are many, many things that we naturally don't like. But Allah Ta'ala says, and the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that there's benefit for you. For example, all of us, or generally, humans don't like the death, right? All of us are scared of death. And death gives us goosebumps, right? And the women especially, they don't like it at all, right? When you're talking about death in homes, the women of the house, they say, "Na karo ye wali baat, koi aur baat karo." So why do they say these things, right? Because naturally, there is a dislike for death. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that tuhfatul mu'min al maut, that death is a gift for the mu'min. Why? Because it joins the believer with his beloved. It joins the believer with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you dislike it, but it is a gift for you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you should talk about death in your meetings and in your ceremonies. Because it breaks the love of the world from your heart. It takes away the love of the world from your heart. So we dislike the concept of death. We dislike talking about death. We dislike dying. But the Prophet ﷺ said, "Tuhfatul mu'min al-maut." This death is a gift for the mu'min. So see, there are certain things that we dislike, but there's benefit for it in us. In the same way, we dislike being sick, right? The day that we are sick, even if we have a flu, we don't even want to talk to other people, right? Tabiyat kharab ho gayi, pata nahi kab sahi hogi. We are so upset. When is it going to happen that we are again not sick anymore? So we dislike being sick, right? And we complain and complain and we complain to our parents and we complain to our brothers and sisters. I'm not feeling well. So you get very upset. Some people get very, very, very angry when they are sick, right? So there is a friend of mine. He says that when my wife is sick, I don't go near her. She gets very upset, right? So sometimes people get very, very upset when they are sick. Why? Because they dislike being sick. But the Prophet ﷺ has said that when a person gets sick, the sickness actually removes the sins of that person. If you are sick, and in a hadith it comes, when you get a fever for one night, it removes 1 year of sins that you have committed. In that year. So it is beneficial for us. It is beneficial for us that every year we get sick for one day at least, huh? So the sins of that says those that year is washed away. So we think that there is dislike being sick, but the Prophet ﷺ said that there is benefit for it. In the same way, we dislike sometimes that guests come to our house, right? When we have guests over, and they come just without telling us, right? Without informing us. There's a knock on the door, and you see that there's people outside standing, and there are guests, and there are people who you know, and they say that we're here, and we'll be staying in your house for the next few days. And you're like, what? Right? Why would you do this? Because you had not planned for it, right? So you're not planned and you dislike this. And although maybe in front of that guest you might not say something, but behind that guest, you know, you might be like, you know, yaar bataya bhi nahi aur aa gaye. So we dislike this. Especially, and in every example I'm giving the example of the women, this one I don't want to give example of the women actually. If they are listening to this, then they'll be very upset. So, okay, men also get upset, you know. Men, they're actually, women, when their own relatives come, they don't get upset. When the relatives of the husband, they come, then they get more upset, actually. So in any case, so when you have guests over, sometimes you dislike this. The Prophet ﷺ has said that the guests are a barakah for the house. And in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that the one who believes in Allah and the last day should take good care of the guests that arrive in your house. So it is a sign of iman that a person takes good care of the guests that come to your house. So Mu'min and a Muslim is the one who takes good care of the guest, whether he comes after informing you or he comes without informing you. A guest is a guest. So sometimes you dislike the guest, but there is benefit for you. And you get this feeling of Iman when you take good care of the guest. In the same way, we don't like spending on others. Naturally, people say that, okay, I don't want to spend on this. And I don't want to spend on, you know, poorer people. And I don't want to spend on my relatives. And I don't like spending here and spending there. But there is benefit in spending. The Prophet ﷺ has said, when you spend on your relatives, and when you spend on poor people, and you give sadaqah, it does not decrease your wealth. Instead, it increases your wealth. And Allah Ta'ala returns it back to you sometimes tenfold, and sometimes even 100 times. So we think that we dislike spending on other people. But Allah Ta'ala has put benefit in this spending. In the same way, naturally we don't like waking up early in the morning for salat, right? Some people are very, very disturbed at waking up in the morning. And especially if you tell them that, okay, Fajr is farz, but you should wake up for tahajjud as well. And he will be very upset at you. But you're telling me to wake up in the middle of the night, what? Right? So you dislike these things. There's a natural dislike for disturbing your sleep. But the Prophet ﷺ said that the one who wakes up at tahajjud time, the du'as that he makes, those du'as are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's benefit in it. So we don't realize this benefit. So this is the biggest lesson of the Qur'an. This is the gist of the Qur'an, the summary of the Qur'an. How Allah Ta'ala wants you to be? He wants you to be a person who accepts what Allah has ordained for him. Those things that you dislike, you start accepting those things. This is the basic idea, basic message of the Qur'an. That you have this tolerance level, you've developed this tolerance level inside of you. Why does it happen that we dislike death, and we dislike guests, and we dislike sicknesses, we dislike spending, we dislike waking up for tahajjud? Why? Because we have this love for the world in our heart, right? We love these things of the world. We love enjoying ourselves. So when guests arrive in the house, all of the enjoyment is disturbed. When you get sick, enjoyment is disturbed. When you have to wake up in the middle of the night, the enjoyment is disturbed, right? When you start talking about death all the time, then the enjoyment is very disturbed, right? So because we are people who are always trying to enjoy ourselves, and we are so much immersed in this world, so we don't like talking about these things, we dislike these things. So when the love of the world is removed from the heart, then we start accepting these things. So the only way to do amal on this ayah of the Qur'an is to remove somewhat of this love of the world from the heart. But how do you remove this love of the world? And Shaykh al-Hadith al-Mawlana Zakariya rahimahullah says that this world is like a snake and it is going to bite you. And the only cure for this snake bite is the company of the pious people, the company of the Ahlullah. You stay in the company of the people, their nasiha, their advice, their company, and their asr has an effect on you. And then the love of the world reduces. And the pious people in this world are just like what a mother is for the child. Right? The mother is telling the child that your exam is right around the corner. You should study. The child says, no, I don't feel like studying. And the mother says, no, you study. I'll take good care of you. I'll make food for you. I will also make dua for you. But you should study. Right? And then there are bad friends who say, no, no, I am also not studying. You should also not study. And the mother is like telling him that, no, no, you should study. So this is what the Ahlullah, what the pious people are like for the students. That the student of the pious people, he wants that, okay, he just does whatever his heart wants. Whatever he desires, he wants. And the Ahlullah tell him that, no. You're taking yourself towards bad things. You're taking yourself towards the fire of hell. So the Ahlullah stops you and they tell you that, okay, we'll make dua for you and I will help you and I will guide you. So the Ahlullah or the pious people for their students are just like what the mother is for the child. And sometimes the effect of these people of Allah is so strong that even one sentence changes the lives of the people. Zazan rahimahullah was among the Tabi'een and he was a very big alim of his time and a very big saint of his time. But in his lifetime, in his youth, he was not that pious. He used to sing and he used to play the instrument. And all these things are not allowed in Islam, playing the instruments and singing and having parties and men and women sitting together and all these things. And he used to do all these things. But in his heart he used to feel that, okay, I'm not doing something right. But because he enjoyed it, he didn't even want to listen to other people. And then he had a very beautiful voice. So when he would sing and he would play the instrument, people would gather and he would have a very big show. And every other day he would have these shows. And in his time, there was a sahabi by the name of Abdullah ibn Masood radiallahu anhu. And one day Abdullah ibn Masood ended up passing across his, close to his show that he was putting on for people. So he was sitting there, he was playing his instrument, and he was singing this song, and Abdullah ibn Masood, he passed. Now while he was singing, he saw that this very pious man, and he looks very beautiful, and he looks like a saint of Allah, and he is walking past by this show that I am putting on. So he was very surprised. But he felt very strange, and he felt very bad, that how come I am singing and this man is watching me? So he shortened his show and he finished it out. And he saw that this pious man, he stood there for a little while and then he passed and he left. And he said something. So he finished his show in a hurried way and then he walked to this person who was sitting at the corner. And he asked him, who was this man who came to this show? He said, he's the Sahabi of the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His name is Abdullah ibn Masood. He said, the Sahabi of the Prophet. And he was walking past by my show of music. He said, yes. And he said, I saw him, that he was standing there for a little bit and he said something and then he left. He said, yes, he stood here for a little bit and he listened to your voice. And then he said, that what a beautiful voice. And then he said, one statement. And he said, I wish that this beautiful voice was used in the recitation of the Quran. And he said those words and he left. And as soon as Zazan heard these words, tears started flowing from his eyes. And he said, where was I? Look, this is the Sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said this to me, that I wish that this beautiful voice should be used in the recitation of the Quran. So he asked, where does Abdullah ibn Masood, where does this big sheikh live? And somebody told him he lives around this place. So he went to the sheikh. And he went to Abdullah ibn Masood. And he said to Abdullah ibn Masood, sheikh, you came to the show that I was putting on for people. And you said that you wish that you use, that I use my voice for the recitation of the Quran. So I am here and I am promising to you that now, from now on, for the rest of my life, this voice will only be used for the recitation of the Quran. So Abdullah ibn Masood radiallahu anhu, he hugged him. And he said to the Sheikh, you are hugging such a bad person like me? Somebody who's committed sins all his life. And you're showing your love to this person? He said, I am not showing my love to you. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing his love to you. Because Allah loves each and everyone who does tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, very big way of changing this heart. is to be in the company of the pious people. So the reason why we dislike some of the things that we should be liking is because there is love of the dunya in the heart. And this love of the dunya, it is removed by being in the company of pious people. So this is a very big message of the Quran. That maybe there are certain things that you dislike, there is benefit for you. Right? So the mu'min, the true mu'min is the one who never says that I am not happy with my life, and I am not happy with this, and I am not happy with that. He's always saying that no, there is benefit in it for me. There is good in it for me. If this is what Allah wants, I am happy with this. This is how the mu'min is. Then he's always saying, okay, if this is what Allah wants, I am happy with it. So mu'min is not the complaining type. Mu'min is the one who does sabr, who's always happy with what Allah has ordained. So if something happens which is against his desires and against his likeness, he would still say, if Allah likes this for me, then I am happy with this. And this is the biggest lesson of the Quran. Asa an takrahu shay'an wa huwa khayr. Maybe there are certain things that you dislike, but there is benefit for you in it. There is good in it for you. And the one who's happy all the time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and who's happy with what Allah has given him, and who's happy with whatever situation he's in, that person is the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the biggest sign that he is the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The nation of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam asked Musa alayhi salam, O Musa alayhi salam, how do we know that Allah is happy with us? So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam went to the mountain of Tur and he asked Allah, oh Allah, my nation is asking me, how would they know that you are happy with them? Allah Ta'ala replied, oh my dear Musa, tell your people that if they are happy with me in their own hearts, then this is the sign that I am also happy with them. If they are happy with me in their own hearts, then this is the sign that I am also happy with them. So the sign of the true mu'min is, he is always happy with whatever situation he is in. He tells himself that if Allah has ordained this for me, if this is what Allah likes for me, then I also like this for myself. So this is the sign of the Ahlullah. Asa an takrahu shay'an wa huwa khayrul lakum wa asa an tuhibbu shay'an wa huwa sharrul lakum. And maybe there are certain things that you love, that you want this, and Allah Ta'ala says wa huwa sharrul lakum. There might be something very evil in it for you. There might be something very bad for you. So we are humans with very limited understanding. Allah knows and we don't know what is good for us. That is why Allah Ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ and Allah knows, وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُ and you don't know what is good for you and what is bad for you. So one of the biggest lessons of the Qur'an, the most important lesson of the Qur'an, أَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ. Once you learn this lesson, then there is no complaining in life. Life becomes easy, right? And because we don't know this lesson, we keep on complaining. Sometimes we're complaining to our friends, this and this person did this to me, and this person did this to me, and this person is not happy with me, and I am not happy with this person. All these complaints will go away once you learn this lesson of the Quran. One of the highest saints of this country, Shah Dawla Rahimahullah, and it is written in the books, he was a very big sheikh of his time, and in his village there came a time that there was lots of rains and people were drowning because of the water. And the water was now drifting towards his own village as well. So people of the village were very concerned. that because of the rain there's a lot of water and maybe we will also drown. So people came to him asking him to make dua. That Shaykh, water is coming towards us and those dikes that we have made around our village, those dikes are about to break. These walls are about to break, there are cracks in the wall. So Shaykh, make dua that Allah Ta'ala helps us and this water recedes back. So instead of making dua, the Shaykh took a very big hammer. Shaykh took the axe and went to this dike, this wall, this cracked wall, and he started breaking the wall himself. So people were saying, Shaykh, we came here to make dua that this wall is cracking and the water is going to come in our village and you are helping in cracking more. And he said that if Allah has ordained this for us, that this wall is going to crack, then I will love that this wall cracks. So this is the shine of the true mu'min. He's always happy with what Allah has designed for him, what Allah has ordained for him, what Allah has liked for him. This is the biggest lesson of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us do amal on this lesson of the Quran. May Allah ta'ala help us understand the meanings of the Quran. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. Inshallah, I'll do the translation one more time. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كتب عليكم القتال. And jihad or qital has been made obligatory on you. وَهُوَ كُرْهٌ لَكُمْ. And it is disliked by you. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا. And maybe there are things that you dislike. وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. And there is benefit in it for you. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا. And maybe there are certain things that you love. وَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ. And there is bad for you in that thing. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ. And Allah knows. وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And you are not aware of it. And you don't know. So this is the ayah that we have done today. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do amal on this ayah. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. جَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ.